Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it.
Hello and welcome back. This is Consider This Northumberland, and I'm your host, Robert Washburn, and you're listening to Northumberland 89.7 FM. Finding a solution to affordable housing is top of mind for many. Recently, one small group has stepped out of the shadows to shine a light on tiny homes. The group is called Tiny Homes Northumberland. It hopes to create resources for people wanting to build affordable housing in their backyard and other small chunks of property. Monica Turner, chair of Tiny Homes Northumberland, and Jeff Wielden, a member of the board, will explain how the demand for smaller dwellings by homeowners and investors could be a solution to giving people a place to live. Oh, and by the way, we're not talking about sleepy cabins for homeless people. These are something completely different. Have a listen. I am absolutely delighted to have with me today Monica Turner, the chair of Tiny Homes Northumberland, and Jeff Wielden, a member of the board. Welcome both to Consider This Northumberland.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rob. Always a pleasure.
Yes.
Who is Tiny Homes Northumberland? Monica, do you want to start us off?
A small but feisty group. We have a small board, but what we're... It's been around for a number of years. We used to be a charter organization under Habitat for Humanity Northumberland. We migrated from that and incorporated separately as a nonprofit organization. But what we're trying to do is advocate for tiny homes to be part of the landscape in Northumberland. We need affordable housing. Tiny homes is a viable option.
So if I heard you correctly, you said you were affiliated with Habitat for Humanity. Can you explain that relationship? Because maybe everybody didn't know that.
No, and that's one of the reasons I mentioned it is that's they incubated us, and we're for that we're very grateful. Just to start off, because again, Habitat for Humanity Northumberland has a fabulous reputation in the community. They helped start us and we work together. We still have a wonderful partnership with them. If we ever get the capital to start doing development, they will be our number one developer. They will have right of first refusal. But we had to separate from them. Unfortunately, and it wasn't something we did lightly, but Habitat for Humanity Northumberland or the corporate Habitat for Humanity has a policy that they only look for home ownership. And we couldn't reconcile only home ownership with tiny homes, especially if they were an additional dwelling in someone's backyard, that we needed the ability to advocate for rentals as well, which is not currently part of Habitat for Humanity's lexicon.
Jeff, can you explain then what is the objective? What are the goals of this organization?
Well, we recognize, Rob, that we need the entire spectrum of housing types in Northumberland, from a tiny home additional dwelling unit in somebody's backyard through single family housing, which we typically already have now, semi-detached townhouses, all the way up through apartment buildings. And so there's a lot of discussion in the municipal world and really everywhere about the high cost of housing and what kind of housing is needed. And so we just wanted to make sure that that it was actually viable to create a tiny home dwelling. So one of the things that we've been doing for the last year or so is looking at all of the planning requirements of every municipality in Northumberland County to make sure, A, that it's even possible to set up a tiny home, and B, to make sure that we can help people navigate that system, because planning systems are not always easy to understand. And so we wanted to make sure that we could help people along the way to make it easier, because so many times somebody wants to develop something and they get stuck on step 10 out of 26. And so we want to help them get over the finish line.
Monica, one of the terms that is often used, we talk about tiny homes, and maybe not everybody can imagine what it is. It also gets confused with something called additional dwelling units. So, can you maybe take us down this path and help us understand a little bit better about what it is you're specifically looking at?
And thank you for the question because, yes, people use the term tiny homes in multiple ways. I'll first start with the d differentiation between a tiny home and a sleeping cabin, because, as you know, that's been an issue for a while in Northumberland and elsewhere, like Peterborough, Kingston, and elsewhere. But a tiny home is a complete home. It has a kitchen, it has a living room, it has a bathroom, it has a bedroom. The living room may also be the bedroom, but it has a kitchen, a bathroom, and a living area. A sleeping cabin doesn't. A sleeping cabin, can be 10 by 10, and essentially that's exactly it. It's a sleeping area, like a bunkie, without a kitchen, without a bathroom. So a tiny home can be, and it's under the building code, the Ontario Building Code. It can be relatively small, but usually people think of tiny homes, again, a complete home between about 200 square feet to about 500 to 600 square feet. So it's small. Where we also, a tiny home can also be an additional dwelling unit, and there's different terms for this. So think about it can be called a garden suite, it can be a coach house, it can be a backyard house, but it's allowed again under the Planning Act. Right now, Northumberland, all seven municipalities allow as a right to have one additional dwelling unit in a backyard. You can also put one in a basement. Again, our website goes through what's allowed in each one. But so not all additional dwelling units could be a tiny home, but tiny homes generally can also be additional dwelling units. So we tried to, on our website, make that differentiation. But quite frankly, a tiny home is just a smaller, complete home. Sorry, long description for a fairly simple idea.
Jeff, I'm not aware of a local municipality that is not concerned about affordable housing. And I know you're also wear a hat as a Brighton councillor. If you guys have staff, there's official plans, all kinds of things like this. What is this group going to contribute to the conversation that isn't already existing?
Well, I think that a lot of times staff are responsive to need and demand in the community, but most developers are not building additional dwelling units. Most developers are not building tiny homes. The developer's formula usually relies on the square footage to increase their return for a home that they build. So typically for a developer, they're making more money off of building a single detached home that is as big as they can fit on a lot. That's how the economics of it works. And we know that we want there to be multiple units on each lot so that we can have a higher population density that helps us to have less municipal infrastructure required for more people, basically. Makes the economics of the entire community work better. So we're in this situation where there's a disconnect between the economics that works best for the community and the economics that works best for the people who actually build the homes. And so oftentimes there's a lot of pushback against, say, having a new apartment building in a small municipality like Brighton or Colborne or something like that. So one of the ways that we can increase the density by having more homes for people without having big apartment buildings or things like that is just by adding another unit. So we're all familiar with a basement suite. And sometimes people will even convert their garage into an apartment for someone. But there hasn't been a lot of recognition or demand for tiny homes in particular. A lot of times people associate tiny homes with people on Instagram who catalog their life as they travel the country and park in beautiful vistas and live most of their life outside. And that's not actually what we're advocating for here. But what we want to make sure is that the planning rules that everyone has to follow in order to develop any housing in Northumberland, recognize that housing can be very small, and that additional dwelling units should be allowed everywhere. Now, a lot of those changes that allow those dwelling units everywhere are brand new. Municipalities are still catching up with a lot of changes in the planning regulation rules. And so what we've been doing for the last year or so is in part advocating for better recognition of this kind of housing within official plans, and then also trying to translate that back out of planner speak into the common language of the people.
Well, Jeff, just as a follow-up though, why not leave it up to municipalities to promote public education?
The way that municipalities speak to the public is in large part regulated by the province. The planning department, in particular, has to follow very specific rules from the Planning Act. And so that's where you get the typical public consultation meeting for any development project. Those types of meetings tend to either be almost completely unattended, or there will be hundreds of people there if there's a matter of concern, as you've had on your show very recently. So what we're trying to do is sort of speak to people in a different way that makes it easy for people to approach planners. For as long as I've been involved in politics, Rob, people have been approaching me and saying, "Hey, Jeff, you're the politics guy. Who do I talk to about this? I don't understand this process. How do I fill out this form even?" To the point where I've even started doing some planning consultation work on the side. And so recognizing that it's sometimes difficult for people to access the municipal planners. And that's a systemic problem, not a problem with our planners themselves, but the way the system is set up. We thought this would be a good gateway to that for them.
Well, Monica, that leads me to ask about this idea that you promote about having a one-stop shop for information. Can you describe how that's going to work?
Well, it and thank you. We Jeff and I and others on the Tiny Homes Northumberland have worked for the last year to put together a one-stop website where people can go in, get a good understanding of what an additional dwelling unit is, what a tiny home is, what the requirements are. But what I particularly like, and Jeff did a lot of this heavy lifting, is what in each one of the seven municipalities in Northumberland County are the requirements, because each one has slightly different zoning bylaws. And so, in plain language, and again, we're not lawyers and we're not trying to be lawyers or planners, but rather how to break down some of the barriers. So, doing plain language and coming back to your earlier question, actually, when the town of Cobourg was promoting their additional dwelling units, I did talk to them and said, "Are you going to do an informational sheet or a website just to decode this for people?" And they said, "Yes, when we get a chance to do it." And so one of the things that Think Tiny Homes Northumberland wanted to do is the planners are super busy right now. There's a lot of changeover and such like that. We saw a gap that was not being filled. It was on everybody's to-do list, but it was down the road. So that's one of the reasons we did this one-stop website. And I will have to say that we also did get a community grant from Community Power Network to actually do it as well. So we did a lot of background work to be able to do this.
Monica, are you aware of how many applications are being received by the various municipalities? I mean, is this a trend? How do you have any numbers?
Not yet, but again, your question is exceedingly timely because one of the things we had to do for the CPN grant is to demonstrate how, or at least say, how will we demonstrate that we've been effective, that their grant actually has moved the yardsticks? So I have actually written to each one of the planning departments of the seven municipalities and the county asking for how many ADU applications did you get last year? And I also warned them that I'm going to ask the same question next January to see if our website has had any change. I have already got one response, and that was Port Hope, and they had applications for five ADUs for last year. And so one of the things we will do is monitor what it was last year, and hopefully we will move that dial and get more ADU applications in across Northumberland.
Monica, in your literature, you point to a project in St. Thomas. Can you tell us about it?
I can. It's actually St. Thomas Elgin Y. And they have, and I'm sorry, I don't have the details at my fingertips, but they are working with a developer who believes in the same idea they have, and it's called Project Hope. They applied for all the federal money, the accelerator money last year. They unfortunately didn't, they were on the short list, but they didn't get the money. But the community has now pitched in. And what makes them really, really interesting, and it is something that everybody is talking about, it's actually tiny homes that are supportive housing. When you look at the model, it's again done by the Y, but they also have a community hub within it to provide social services, to give that support for people who just need that extra social service, wraparound services and such. But it's 40 units in a fairly tight space, but it is so community led. And I don't know what the waiting list is. They've been so busy trying to develop it. But it is obviously something that the community needs.
Monica, you mentioned earlier sleeping cabins. And
Yes.
when I was preparing for this, I also made the association with sleeping cabins. And we know that in Coburg, that project fell flat. Now, there's an association between sleeping cabins and homeless people, whether that's fair or not. How do you avoid your efforts not falling into the same problem this time?
That's a very good question, and it's a slippery slope, and we're good at navigating it. One of the things, and we do have good relations with the folks that have led the Sleeping Cabin Coalition, and we do believe in housing first, in the sense that people need to be housed if they're going to get services and perhaps have a better health outcomes. But one of the things, and that's why perhaps we're a little dogmatic about this, we're very clear about a tiny home being a complete home. It is where someone lives. It is not mobile. It is not something that is attached to a washroom facility or, something else. It is a home where an individual or two individuals can live. At the same time, we are supportive of efforts that house the unhoused right now because that's a better community outcome for everyone. So we work hard not to be designated for we're working for sleeping cabins. We're looking to increase the diversity of affordable housing in Northumberland, knowing that there's a full suite of housing options on the continuum.
Jeff, we mentioned the word affordability multiple times in this conversation. Are these units going to be rentals or are these people buying them outright?
I think the general idea here, Rob, is that an existing homeowner will purchase one of these units and then set it up as a rental unit in their backyard or side yard. in order to sometimes get an additional revenue to help pay their own mortgage in these difficult times, or more often as a suite for their adult child or aging parent. And that just increases the overall amount of housing. But one of the things that makes these potentially more affordable is, first of all, because of their size, they are very cheap to heat or cool. A single air source heat pump ductless version is more than enough to heat or cool it. And so they're very energy efficient, very easy to keep up and keep clean. But also, they can be built as modular units that can be manufactured in a warehouse or a factory setting, which does increase the quality because it's in a very controlled environment. But it also means that it, as a factory product, it's mass produced, which lowers the cost.
And we all know, though, that in this region, rental units and rent is extraordinarily high. How is this going to bring that down to a level of affordability?
Well, one of the ways that you can bring down rental costs and purchase costs is just by increasing supply. The cost is a factor of supply and demand. The demand is very high and supply is low right now. So if you increase supply, in theory, the costs will come down. At the same time, I think that the best way to ensure that these are do not become just one more unaffordable rental that's available is the idea that this is something that an individual can add to their own yard. A lot of times the incentive in real estate is to charge as much as you can. And that makes sense from a market perspective, but not necessarily from a human perspective. It is much easier to make that kind of decision that puts money over people when you are distant from it. And so sometimes if there's a landlord who owns multiple units, maybe they live in a different community. You know, I know that there are rental units in Northumberland that are owned by people from other provinces even. Having a unit in your own backyard is a different thing. You're going to have a better relationship with your tenant. Again, your tenant is most often going to be someone related to you. And so that does create human connections that can offset some of those costs. So people are not necessarily looking for top dollar from their kid who lives in the backyard, if that makes sense.
How many members do you have?
We have, right now, we've had up to about 10. Right now, we're at about 6. Small but feisty.
I'm going to ask you both this question, but I'm going to start with Jeff. Why should anyone pay attention to this group?
Well, I think that people will pay attention to Tiny Homes Northumberland only insofar as we're making it easier for them to live their tiny home dream, whether that's an individual who wants the simplified lifestyle of a small home on a property, or whether that's somebody who's looking for additional revenue to help pay down their own mortgage or find a place for their aging parent or child, or someone who wants to think outside the box in terms of what housing could look like in Northumberland. As insofar as we are a guide or a support to them, they should pay attention to us. And the planners will pay attention to us because we'll keep calling them until they do.
Monica, why should anyone pay attention to your group?
Again, Jeff covered it well, but we are trying to get a broader conversation that not all housing needs to be market priced and, you know, 2,000 square feet. Not everybody needs that. Not everybody wants it, especially when you're looking at downsizing and making your life perhaps a little more simple. And again, I'm talking about seniors or youth that are starting out. There's some obvious target audiences for what we're talking about, which then again, there's a number of seniors that are overhoused right now, where that house could be used by a family. So there's an opportunity, and I hate the term win-win, but if someone, and I actually know people who have done that, where they've put an ADU in their backyard and they've moved into that, renting out their larger house. So again, it's looking at the need for housing, and that tiny homes is part of the equation. And we will, as Jeff said, we'll keep talking to councils, to planners, and anybody else who will talk to us to promote the idea, just to expand the idea of what housing can look like in Northumberland.
Monica Turner, Jeff Wheeldon, thank you so much for talking to me today.
Thank you, Rob.
Thank you.
That was Monica Turner, Chair of Tiny Homes Northumberland, and Jeff Wheeldon, a member of the board. I want to thank my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.